Good evening. Evensong, as this parish brings to closure the year-long bicentennial celebration and also the feast, the patronal feast of St. Thomas. Oh, happy 200th anniversary, St. Thomas. Thank you, Canon Turner, for your invitation and welcome. Canon Turner and Mother Alison Turner began here the same year I began as Bishop Suffragan of this diocese 10 years ago. So because of that, we have bonded early on, and Clara, my wife, and I have enjoyed our friendship with them during these years. I am grateful for their ministry, not just here at St. Thomas, but also for their leadership and contribution in the life of this diocese. Congratulations, you have survived 10 years in this Gotham City, and that's no small feat. Would you join me in congratulating them again? I'm sure you have already, for 10 years of their ministry here. From this evening's Gospel, John, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was young, in my early 20s, I had my entire life all planned out and had a pretty good idea what my life was going to be like. I knew where I was going and I knew what I was going to do. I even knew what age I was going to get married, and I didn't have a girlfriend. Well, nothing in my life has worked out as I had planned. And thank God for that in retrospect. But at the time when my life was unfolding in ways I did not plan or could control, it was bewildering and stressful. Maybe some of you have had a similar experience in your life. Then occasionally, life throws a curveball that really leaves you in complete disarray and bewilderment. One of those moments happened to me 33 years ago when my younger sister suddenly died of a car accident at the age of 20. Nothing is more tragic than having to bury your own child or your younger sibling. Nothing in life prepares you for that kind of a sudden curveball. It was the most devastating time in my life. I felt myself drowning in all kinds of emotions, sort of sorrow, anger, confusion, all at once. And I had no idea how I was going to get through it. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Brings me back that time in my memory. Well, today's gospel story is a snippet from Jesus' Passover supper with his disciples, who have no idea that it would be their last Passover with Jesus. A lot of strange things have already happened. Jesus got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet, which confused and embarrassed them to no end and made them feel uncomfortable. Then he predicted that Judas would betray him as he dipped a piece of bread in a dish and gave it to him. The others had no idea what was happening. He even predicted his own death and told them they could not go with him where he was going. When the bumbling Peter said, "I would lay down my life for you," and Jesus predicted that he would deny him three times before the cock crow, the disciples must have been confused and anxious about what Jesus was doing and talking about on this night. Because it was at this point Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And he went on to describe the Father's house, where there were many dwelling places, and said that he was going ahead to prepare a place for them. Ever curious Thomas has the courage to say and ask the question that the other disciples were thinking. "We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus replied with this famous "I am saying," "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Have you had a conversation with someone in which you and your conversation partner were talking past each other? The conversation between Jesus and his disciples is one just like that kind of conversation. The disciples might have thought they understood what Jesus was saying, but really had no idea what he was saying. The entire discourse is shrouded in mystery. And that is exactly the point of the gospel writer. Because what was about to unfold on this Passover night was beyond human understanding and imagination. The disciples were about to have a major curveball thrown at them, and Jesus was trying to prepare them for that, but nothing could prepare them for the unspeakable tragedy they were about to witness and experience. From its humble beginning in that room on the corner of Broome Street and Broadway on the evening of the 12th of October, 1823, St. Thomas persevered through a number of curveballs in its life. The challenge around the foundation of its first building in 1824, to begin with, as Trinity Church Wall Street said they were unable to help. Father Wright's history book says they had $826 raised initially, and the three lots cost them something like $30,000. A lot of money in those days. And then to see the first building destroyed by fire in 1851, and building the second church in just 1 year. And then the decision to move because the neighborhood had, in quote, "degenerated into anchorage of cheap dance halls and saloons." Greenwich Village hasn't changed much. Well, sounds to me like an exciting neighborhood for a church to be, though. And finally, moving into a new building on the present location on Fifth Avenue in 1870, only to see it destroyed by fire once again in 1905. And the new Cram and Goodhue designed building completed in 1913, which now stands in the middle of one of the most expensive commercial real estates in the country. This too is an exciting place for a church to be. As Mother Teresa once observed, how poor they must be in this area. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. With these words, Jesus was inviting the anxious and bewildered disciples on a hitherto uncharted journey of life. And the journey was none other than to walk with him to the cross, where the way, the truth, and the life would finally be revealed. In some Christian quarters, this I am saying of Jesus is interpreted to justify the Christian supremacy over other religions, or the Christian supersessionism over the Jewish faith. Surely, as a deeply faithful rabbi, that was not what Jesus had in mind in this saying. The disciples were being called to a journey they could have never imagined, the journey of death and resurrection with Jesus. And the only thing they needed for this journey was faith, the faith in the power of God's grace and love, even to raise his beloved son from the dead. At each curveball moment, the leaders of this famous parish embarked on a journey of the unknown, discerning as best as they could. In the end, though, it was a journey of faith, learning to trust God's grace to raise this church out of the ashes into a new life. Two times. That journey of death and resurrection has never stopped and continues in this post-pandemic time. And the only thing you need for this journey ahead is faith. When I was faced with that most devastating tragedy in my life, what helped me get through it was a little note card I'd received from a parishioner at my church. It was a simple note that said, "Alan, remember that God loves you." Every bone in my body wanted to reject that love. But that little note kept nagging at me and pulling me each step of my journey until I learned to accept and trust God's love and trust that risen Jesus had prepared a dwelling place for my sister in his Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In this age of great anxiety, with so much uncertainty, confusion, division, and conflict around us, the words of Jesus call us back to what is most important in our journey of faith and our journey of life, our faith in God and in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, who is the way and the truth and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. believe also in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.